Our staff theme for this summer, I've said again and again, but maybe there's someone who hasn't been here, has been serving the Lord. Do not be slothful in zeal was our theme verse, Romans 12:11. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. We are the Lord's servants. We serve the Lord Christ. He has won our hearts. I was blessed one time we were having testimonies at the end of one of the sessions. I think it was the third period. And one of the staff members who testified used one of the staff devotionals in her testimony. And that was about the servant who wanted, even though he would have been able to go free, he wanted to stay in his master's service. Remember, the provision was made so that servants could only be held for 6 years. And the seventh year, they could go out free. And then some servant might say, no, I love my master. I don't want to leave his service. And she said at the end of her testimony, I love my master. I will not go out free. But you know, it wasn't always that way with any of us. In Romans 6, it tells us that we were the servants of sin. Every single one of us was bound. We served sin, and we lived for ourselves. That's what it says. God be thanked, though. Praise the Lord. Tonight is my testimony. I just want to say this. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, be those servants of God. As you yielded yourself to sin, as your members were servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God that though we were bound, though we lived in sin and served sin and self, and we were far from God, our hearts were not His. He drew us. He convicted us of our sin. He showed us His power to save. We came to Him, opened our hearts to Him, appealed to Him, and applied to Him that He might work within us, apply the cleansing blood. How thankful we were when we came and found that joy of salvation. We had peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ when we were justified by faith in Him. And what a blessing it was to be freed from our sins and to become servants of God. You serve the Lord Christ. I had a special day at the beginning of the summer, and we came together at church. It was a personal milestone, I guess you would call it. And we came together at church, and there we celebrated communion like we're doing tonight. And that day, a Bible character had come to mind. And I spoke about him for just a few minutes. There's so much you could say about him, but there's just one aspect of it all that touched my heart. I wanted to point to him and then make that my testimony. His name was Mephibosheth. Do we all know who Mephibosheth was? He was Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson, and we meet him in a chapter, 2 Samuel 9. He may be mentioned before that, but this is where his story is told. And again, I'm not going to take a lot of time with this, I promise. I just want to bring out one major thing. We're told in this chapter a number of times about this lame man eating bread at the royal table. It was because David wanted to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan was a dear friend of David. As you know, they were very, very close. And Jonathan, who was the king's son, realized that David was going to be king instead of Jonathan. And he was pleased with that. It was okay with him. His father had a big problem with David, but Jonathan didn't. Somehow their hearts were knit together. And Jonathan knew that the time was coming when David would be king. And remember, in the prior book, isn't it? 1 Samuel somewhere, 20. Jonathan expresses that. He says that the day is coming, and I want you to show kindness to my family. See, I was reading this in another one of my Bibles, and it's not on the same spot. You know how that is? That's always a problem. Anyway, Jonathan said, as he was speaking to David, "Not only while I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever." 1 Samuel 20, that was verse 15. "No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." When you ascend to the throne, and your enemies are all taken care of, and it's all peace and victory, please show kindness to my family. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now, why was Mephibosheth brought as Jonathan's son, as Saul's grandson? Why, you'd think he could have been a threat. Why was Mephibosheth brought to the king's table? It was because of love. It was because of love between David and Jonathan, because of fidelity, because of a covenant they had sworn. David had promised to show kindness not only to Jonathan, but to Jonathan's household. And now when you think of Mephibosheth, and I think this was the testimony for that night that was stirring in my heart, Mephibosheth had nothing to recommend him to David. He couldn't perform any acts of, valor. It says that he was lame in both of his feet. He was sickly. He was an invalid. He called himself a dead dog. In his own estimation, he was as worthless as a dead dog. But it was because of this love that he was brought in and shown kindness and given a place at the royal table. And this is so analogous to our own situations. We couldn't earn anything from God. We had offended his holiness. We were lame in both our feet and worse. We could bring nothing of merit to him, nothing that could recommend us, but God looked upon us in kindness. You know, there was a great covenant made between the Heavenly Father and his well-beloved Son, where Jesus promised to secure the salvation of all who would come to him in faith. And Jesus, we know what he did, the great lengths that he went to. We see them right here before us, thinking of his broken body and his shed blood. The great lengths he went to fulfill that covenant for us. For me he died, for me he lives, an everlasting life and light he freely gives. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive. Think of our own condition in the sight of God. Certainly worse than Mephibosheth's condition in the sight of David. We couldn't ever win his regard with what we could bring. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. But this covenant has been made, just as it was made between David and Jonathan. And there was a sacred obligation. And therefore, Mephibosheth was blessed as he was blessed. And we, as God's children, can look away and look to the covenant between God and our representative, his Son, the Son of his love. Nothing that we could do could earn his favor or earn us a seat at his table. But here we are. Here we are, celebrating the feast together. We're invited to come to the Lord's table. And it's not just here. We do this in remembrance of him until he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death. But we're looking forward to feasting with him forever. We are brought right into the heart of God. And we come to feast with our King. And we have a royal invitation because we have put our faith in Jesus and because he has been merciful to us. And we base our plea. What is our plea based on? Well, we sing it, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. So there's this living faith that God has blessed us with, and we see Jesus, and we reach out to him, and we trust him, and we base all of our plea on the fact that he has invited us to come, and that he has shed his precious blood for us. These provisions of that covenant between the Father and the Son are extended to us because we come to Jesus. And therefore we sit at the divine table. And therefore we are regarded as heirs of the great King, greater than David, great David's greater Son, whose name to us is love. Thank you, Lord. Just want to give that little word of testimony tonight. We could come on no other. We have no other stand. We have no other plea. No merit to plead before God. But he has loved us. He has loved us. All this was born in his heart. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. So isn't it wonderful that a person lame in both his feet and worse and sinful, sin-sick, estranged from God, can be reconciled and brought near and know the peace and the joy of feasting with the King, of being looked upon with favor. It's such a blessed thing, such a wonderful thing. We will never cease to praise Him, never, never. And God is so wonderful, we sing. I can't explain, but I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise His holy name. What a wonderful thing we heard tonight about those ladies in the prison, the women that are being led to Christ. Praise the Lord. And all of us can rejoice because we were blind, but now we see. We were dead, but now we live. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory to the faithful Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Our gracious Father, as we come to the Lord's table, we want to come with deep gratitude. We want to thank You for Jesus, our Savior, who bore our sins so that You could forgive us and grant us eternal life and fellowship with You forever. Oh Lord, let our hearts be stirred by this great and wonderful story of love. And then, Lord, we know that as we come to Your table, You want to minister to each of us. You want to give us strength for our onward journey, the pilgrim journey, Lord. Strength to run after You, strength to seek You with all of our hearts, strength to live for You. All of our days, Lord, we owe You everything. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Now, Lord, we pray that You will strengthen us, each one, and that You will have Your way. Give us faith as we come to Your table. We thank You for these emblems, and we thank You for Your presence. And we thank You that we can, by faith, partake of You this evening and receive life, the life of Jesus, life more abundant for spirit, soul, and body. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Amen. Hallelujah.